Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Larry Norman, the man dubbed the father of Christian rock, passed away on Wednesday at 60 years of age. You know, he was considered a radical, both by the mainstream music industry and also, originally in particular, the Christian community. But he's actually been credited with reinventing Christian music. Famously, he quipped, "Why should the devil have all the good music?" Joining us now is David DeSabatino. He is a US-based filmmaker who's producing a documentary on Larry Norman's life. It's good to have you with us on the show, David.
Thank you for having me.
He was radical for the mainstream music labels. He was certainly radical for the Christian community when he started. Why was he so radical?
Well, Larry, at the time, I mean, he comes along and he's at ground zero. Here's a guy that is speaking so forthright into not only the mainstream culture, but also back to the church in a way that I think they had never heard. Here's a guy that fused his love for rock music with his passion for God and the gospel together in a very combustible and honest way. And it's kind of funny because when you know, we all stand there and salute the flag of honesty, but when somebody comes along and is that honest, you know, they often nail him to a tree, you know. And I think Larry came along and did that sort of thing and sang about gonorrhea on Valentine's Day. He sang about, you know, life at the street level. And some people couldn't handle it. Other people were riveted by it.
Well, you mentioned that lyric there, gonorrhea on Valentine's Day, if I remember correctly. That was a song that he actually wrote with, was it Janis Joplin in mind?
That I hadn't heard, but probably.
It was one of those classic female singers whose life was totally, you know, being derailed, and he was writing it for her. The song's "Why Don't You Look Into Jesus." The lyric goes, "Gonorrhea on Valentine's Day, you're still looking for the perfect lay. You think rock and roll will set you free, but honey, you'll be dead before you're 33." And the chorus obviously goes into, "Why don't you look into Jesus?" Very, very, very abrupt, isn't it?
Sure, very, very much so. And I know that, you know, Janis and Jimmy and the rest of them were on his mind because he sang a song called Reader's Digest, where it's an ode to that time and all those lifestyles that kind of went down the toilet by, you know, giving in to the excesses of the counterculture. So he was very, very much had his finger on the pulse of what was going on. And yet, through his music, he was trying to point people to the radical truth of Jesus Christ and say, look, you know, you can't find happiness in drugs, you can't find it in open sexuality and all the things that were going through that culture at that time. But if you're really honest, take a look at Jesus, you know.
What do you think were his most radical lyrics to the church?
Two come to mind. The Great American Novel, which was one that he took on the ills of society and that of the church not responding to that. But there's one called Right Here in America, where he sings, it's off of an album called Street Level, and he starts talking about how the church is ostracized, and he goes into the fact that they've ostracized niggers and Jews, and you know, and you're like sitting there going, whoa, this is a 22-year-old kid standing up and singing this song in a church service. And, you know, he's talking about how, you know, here's a church saying that, you know, we have Jesus and we have the answers, and yet, you know, you're putting the kibosh on these people. And it just didn't make sense to him. That was pretty radical, you know, at that time. And I can see why a lot of people just did not get. And I can see why a lot of people were energized by it. Because, hey, this guy is speaking the truth just like Jesus did.
What kind of response did he get from the churches? I mean, from your research for your documentary, what happened to him?
Well, you know, it's a tough thing because Larry has shrouded himself in the iconography of the rebel and the one that's always misunderstood. You know, but I think that's a little bit, I don't know what the word is. I think it's far and wide to the left because the people that really embraced him were church people. Mm. You know, his music really didn't make a dent in the mainstream culture. He was on those labels. He was on Capitol Records. He was on MGM. But his music never sold because they really didn't know what to do with it. It was like, what do we do with this music that's like the Billy Graham and rock and roll mixture? We don't know what to do with it. But when his stuff was given to church kids, that's where he found his niche. So he kind of postured himself as this rebel, but really, I think deep down, he was a church kid who had gone and tasted some of the worldwide, you know, experience and been in a band called People, but then came back and said, you know, I'm going to give you what for your lack of foresight in not dealing with the ills of society, not dealing with what's going on around you.
Sounds like he really will be remembered as a complex character. I mean, he influenced so many people, Randy Stonehill included, who's also considered one of the godfathers of contemporary Christian music. And he made a statement on Larry Norman's death, and he said this, I quote, "For as brilliant and insightful as Larry was, I'm not sure that he understood himself completely. This issue became apparent in the way he consistently seemed to derail relationships throughout his life." Is that consistent with what you found in your research?
You know, Randy's about as honest and transparent a guy, and this is a tough time because he loved Larry very much, and but at the same time, you know, people are asking him to stand up and just, you know, say the nice thing and stuff like that, and he's being as honest as he can, and that's pretty much the truth.
How do people describe Larry Norman, then, the people that you've spoken to for your documentary?
He's an enigma wrapped in a question mark. I mean, it's just, you know, I've often said, I love these characters because, you know, I did a film prior to this one called Frisbee, which was about a guy that was very similar to Larry in that if you had the prophet Ezekiel come and visit your house, you wouldn't know what to do with him either.
Yeah.
You know, or John the Baptist shows up on your front step, I don't think you'd invite him into the house. And yet these are the guys that God calls. Larry Norman falls into that category. He's a guy that I think for a season in the 70s, probably 10 years, was kissed by God and is the icon of Christian culture. He's your Bob Dylan of the Christian community. He's singing those wonderful songs that kind of capture and encapsulate everything that everybody's going through, and yet he does it through a musical genre that's, you know, danceable and catchy, and you love it. At the same time, he's very, very difficult to deal with, you know, and it's so complex to unravel, and there's a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. And it does us no good to gloss over that stuff. I think the Christian community really has to take a look at the Bible and how it deals with these characters. Yes, David is a man after God's own heart, but he also had relations with Bathsheba and killed her husband. And the Bible deals with this very honestly, and I think we need to revisit those kind of things. He's one of those things that you say, on the one hand, look at this, all this gold. On the other hand, yikes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Was Larry ever married?
Yes, he was. Twice. His first wife is named Pamela, and they were married for about, I want to say 7 years. And then he was married to another woman named Sarah. Right. And he has one child by Sarah.
Okay. I found it interesting that there wasn't too much of a mention about the family that Larry left behind in the public statements.
Yeah. That's a hard story to unravel, too, because not a lot of people know this, but the woman that I mentioned, Sarah, was also married to his best friend, Randy Stonehill.
Okay.
So that's, you know...
Starts getting complex, doesn't it?
You know, it's, you know, again, I think it's a wonderful story of God's grace, and it at the end of it, you go, wow, if God can use Larry, then he can use me, because truth be told, any of us that step up to the table, we have dysfunction in our lives, if we're really honest.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's complex.
Larry was also riddled with health problems, too. I mean, there was brain damage after a plane crash. There was a heart attack there, diabetes. How did his health affect his music towards, you know, in the later years?
Well, you know, from 1980 on, you know, for me, and this is just me as a fan looking at his music, in the first 10 years of his career, if you will, from about 1969 to 1979, I would put up his body of music against anybody. And that includes Dylan, anybody. It's wonderful. It's just absolutely great. Only Visiting This Planet is still heralded as one of the great Christian albums of all time. In 1980 to the present day, he really never gets back to a scintilla of what was going on back then. It's uneven. Something happened. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows. And I asked, and, you know, only Larry could answer that. You know, I don't know.
Did you spend much time with Larry personally as you were making this documentary before he passed away?
No, not at all.
No. Okay.
I think that he realized that it was going to be honest.
Yeah.
And we were going to go back to some of these people, and I don't think he wanted any part of that. So we had conversations, and he obviously knew that I was doing it, and I extended as much, you know, I tried as best I could.
Yes.
And again, he's tough. He did say at one point, yeah, and then, of course, said no, then yes, then no.
Well, again, it just goes on to say what you were saying before. You know, we are dealing with a complex personality. In the end, David, what do you think will be the legacy of Larry Norman and his music? What has it been? What will it be?
Well, you know, I don't think he's done like John Lennon. You know, if you go into John Lennon's life, here's a guy who is an icon. He writes this wonderful anthem, Imagine, one of the greatest songs ever written in the rock genre. And Larry, I think his legacy to the Christian music genre is that kind of iconic stance. But just like Lennon and some of these other great artists, they have foibles in their life.
Mm.
So you have to take it all into consideration. You know, Lennon had a kid that he ostracized, had a marriage that he just walked away from, you know, and yet he's a revered figure. So I think Larry, eventually that's what will happen.
Yeah, and as you've already mentioned there, we've got plenty of biblical figures who certainly fell into that as well. Well, finally, David, when's your documentary due out?
Well, hopefully, we're just putting the final touches on it, and we have gotten a number of people that have said, you know, yeah, I'll come on, and some big names, and so it's been really good, and it'll be finished. We're hoping to release it in September. So.
Okay. Well, David, thank you for your time, and it's been good to explore the life of Larry Norman, and all the best with your documentary, and I guess make it sensitive, but make it truthful.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much.
That's documentary filmmaker David D. Sabatino. He's producing a documentary on the life of Larry Norman, who passed away Wednesday, age 60.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.